Turn your Bibles with me to back to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, and I read verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Our title this morning is Things That Will Not Change for the New Year. Things That Will Not Change for the New Year. Many people have said over the course of the last year, they could not wait to see the exit of the year 2022. Some say this from an economic point of view, others from a medical point of view. But I've heard it. Some have said these words for other reasons. Life was difficult for many during this year. From the perspective of our ministry, many losses were incurred. Little or no gains were realized in our ministry. And all these things are true. But for the redeemed soul, there's a different perspective. Different perspective in life. We have become new creatures, the redeemed person. For a child of God, there are some things that will not change this year. Will never change for a believer. The world is filled with uncertainties. The church is filled with uncertainties. The economic pundits may say one thing, and there will be another. Depends where you got your trust. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. The modern environmentalists harp on climate change. And many biblically uninformed Christians have swallowed that line. And you hear me address it all the time. Because I'm right. Because God's word is right. For 14,000 years or close to that, the Lord Jesus has held the stars in place. And all of a sudden, man can change the creator to the creature. We are biblically uninformed people. We're giving more attention to CNN and the pulpit of God's word. The God of heaven declared through the prophet, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. Who can change that? Who can change that? Do you think that an infinite God will give the earth unto man to ruin? Do you think that? Well, that's because you have a low esteem of God. Bible says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The changing of the climate or whatever, all things. There's nothing under the sun that has happened or that will happen that is not orchestrated or regulated by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Christian's perspective, the new creature. Christians ought not to be driven by the counsel of men, but should be biblically informed. And there are a lot of ignorant Christians sitting in pews today. Times are uncertain, but the biblically informed Christian knows that there are things that will not change this new year. Therefore, I will endeavor to address this subject under four imperatives, four headings that are imperative. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Your philosophy, the philosophy I had before of this world, of Christ, passed away. Behold, all things, and that word is in the present tense, all things are becoming new. Biblical language tells us there is a reason for the word therefore. It's a conclusive word. And anytime you read it in the Bible, you know, as Brother Frank rightly says, you know, something was before, therefore. It's based on what came before. But a Christian is someone who is in Christ. To be in Christ is a phrase that describes a person's union with Christ. It's a union. It's an inseparable union. That cannot change, providing a person is in Christ. They're joined to Christ. It is wonderful how God used the marriage, the institution of marriage, the same way. And today marriage have become a shambles, where people think they can marry this year and divorce next year and remarry the next year. I want you to know, I do not support that based on scripture. I respect people, but there are certain things that I cannot endorse from the pulpit. I don't know your position, but I just want you to know what the Bible has said, what God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. But I hold to that position. Awfully quiet in the church. And it should be. We're sliding away from the truth. And now churches are putting men with multiple, who had multiple wives in the pulpit. May God help us this year. And you're hearing me. We are joined to Christ because we are in union with Christ. All men naturally are in Adam from a creation standpoint. We are in Adam. But all true Christians are in Christ from a redemptive standpoint. And therefore, my first heading under the subject, things that will not change, is the Lord Jesus Christ will not change. Pivotal text, Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Jesus Christ cannot and will not change. You know the famous text in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same in character. He is faithful. He is same in his plan and intentions for the world. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's the same in his instructions to his church, occupy till I come, lest I find you sleeping. He's the same also in his intolerance with unfaithfulness and ill worship, as he was when he drove out the money changers and said, my house is called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. He's the same in his intentions for how we worship in here. But in the one thing that you and I can be certain of in the new year is that our Lord and our Savior will not change. The same expectations he had in the first century are the same he has today for us. Remember what he said about one of the churches called Sardis. He says, remember how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. And this was way back in the first century. His promises are the same. His promptings to us in the church hasn't changed. Neither will his people, new creatures, change. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That cannot change. The Lord Jesus Christ will not change. It's a faithful saying, the Bible says, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. John the apostle saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, John, that he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. So this is our first heading. As the Apostle John saw him, he said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. The eternal attribute of our Lord and our Savior. Point number two. True believers' union with Christ will not change. Paul, in that beautiful chapter, said that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. Alzheimer's setting, does it make Christ's love less effective? Heart disease, does it make the love of Christ less effective for you and me? Nothing can separate a child of God from Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, my Christianity, my salvation, rest upon him. I hope we understand these things this morning. A true believer is not saved today and not saved tomorrow. He is able to keep me from falling and present me faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. A true believer, the question is, am I a true believer? Not only would the true child of God union with Christ not change, their communion with him will not change. They will continually commune with God. A sign that we may not be a child of God is that we may cease communing with God. It's a sign, and it is a good sign, because today is the day of salvation. It's a good sign if God brings this to our minds, but some people are so busy, it never come to their mind. Something serious when a professing believer has no communion with Jesus Christ, no feeling for him, no urge to listen to his word, no strength to do his will. There's strength to do everything else. No pulse to show life, spiritual life. Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Speaking of the union of a true believer with the Lord Jesus is as if he is holding his people in his hand. Those nail print hands. The Lord, in this verse, says six times about those who have become his sheep. So he said six things. He says, one, they hear his voice. He says, second, they are known by the shepherd. He said, thirdly, they follow him. Fourthly, they are given eternal life. Fifth, they will never perish. And sixth, no one can pluck them out of his hand. Six things about a true believer. To have eternal life is not simply a quantity of life. That's not what it really is. It is a quality of life. It is a life that has fellowship with God and the people of God. It is a life that is expressed in obedience to the shepherd. That's the quality of eternal life. And true believers' union with Christ will not change. I see a struggling brother in our church this morning has made it in the pew. Struggling as it may, something is desirable in such a one that he struggles nevertheless to be under the hearing of the Word of God in person and not on a screen. Many don't have that misfortune, but they have no interest. And they want to fool me that they are children of God. Don't have the quality of life. But the Lord said to the Jews, you believe not because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. The Lord said this in the setting of the religious hierarchy of his day the scribes and the Pharisees and the people, you are not my sheep. The quality of life given to the new creature cannot change because our Savior will not change. He will keep his people. And we ought to understand these things as the year comes in. If you are normal, like I am, I hope I am, you may sometime wonder if you will last to the end. We all have those thoughts. I do. You may wonder what it would take for you to apostatize. There's nothing wrong with those thoughts that are brought to bear. They're good thoughts. But be reminded when you have those thoughts of the Word of God. And a favorite verse I quoted before. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. When you have those thoughts, remember that the Lord is able to keep you from falling. Text describing the believer's union with Christ. It's a promise relating to the faithfulness of God. He keeps us from falling. He does it for his glory. We're kept by his power. So many things can change and will change for this new year. Many people will continue to change. The Lord Jesus Christ will not change. A true believer's union with Christ will not change. Point number 3. True believers' conflict with sin and the flesh will not change. You hear that third point? Let me repeat it. A true believer's conflict with sin and the flesh will not change. Don't expect it to go away. That's why God has provided the means of grace. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Though a child of God has become a new creature, the one thing God did not do for believers was to change their old nature. This will occur after the resurrection. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, and we all shall be changed. Not on this earth. He left us with the new nature, with the old nature, to contend with sin and the flesh, to keep us humble. As the Apostle Paul said, 3 times I approached God. He said, my grace is sufficient. Where there be sickness, where there be sin, besetting sin, his grace will keep us. Show us he's God. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. The battle may rage worse as you get older. Ask me about it. The older you get in Christ, the stronger the battle is. That isn't changing. People have been married for 40 years. Now all of a sudden you hear a man got a midlife crisis. What midlife crisis are you telling me about? It's just your lusts. God give us this conflict to keep us humble, to keep us looking, to keep us watching, to keep our eyes on him. The one who is not a true child of God will fall away. But based on John 10:28, the scriptures I show you, and Jude 25, God will keep his children from falling away and falling apart. He will keep us in a state of grace by giving us a desire for the means of grace. And every true child of God has the desire for the means. You know what the means of grace are. You've heard me explain them hundreds of times. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16-17, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." But Charlie, this is one of your verses. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Our affliction is working out in us the glory of our God. You know, we should know these things because they help us when the devil throws his darts at us. The conflict of a believer comes from without, but it comes mostly from within. That's why it's a conflict. Before the conversion of the new creature, there was no conflict. And if you don't have a conflict, well, you should start looking. There was no reason for Satan to raise a conflict with those who are already his. A house divided cannot stand. Satan is not divided against himself. The Jews accused the Lord of casting out devils by the power of Satan. The Lord dispelled that logic. How can Satan cast out Satan? And he's divided. It's ludicrous for the devil to cast out the devil. The conflict begins the moment a person becomes a new creation. All of a sudden, he knows about purity. All of a sudden, he knows about righteousness. All of a sudden, he knows about worship. Those things. "We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers in heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God." His armor becomes different. Conflict with sin and the flesh in our union with Christ will not change this year. It may intensify. Apostle says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." And by the way, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And you need to pull down those things, those thoughts that weigh you down. You need to cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God or the Word of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Word of God. David, the psalmist, said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight." Of course, David was a fighter. But today we have a different warfare on our hands. And God teach our fingers to fight. How does he do this? Well, our fingers, we turn to pages. And learn how to fight. The apostle tells us in Galatians that we are to walk in the Spirit. And we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why? Because the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. What that means is the fleshly things war against the spiritual things. That's what it means. And whichever one wins shows us who we are. Simple, isn't it? This is the conflict that the new nature has with the old nature. The flesh will conflict that which is spiritual. Anything that is spiritually profitable for the soul, the flesh will seek to discourage, because the two are contrary. It's easy, right? It's easy to understand. And the one that has dominance in a person's life will reveal to that person who they are. And God says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. For the one sowing to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one sowing to the Spirit shall reap eternal life. And Paul inserts the next phrase, do not be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. The phrase in due season refers to eternity, when you reap. Puritan Reformed preacher John Owen has an excellent book out there, Mortifying Sin. He said this, and I quote, he who is able to swallow and digest daily sins in his life without conviction in the heart is at the very brink of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. John Owen. Christian pastors are given a volume of John Owen. The Lord said, in the world, you will have tribulation. And that word tribulation is pressure. Pressure. John 16, 33. There are some things, brethren, that will not change for the year. The Lord Jesus Christ will not change. True believers' union with Christ will not change. Believers' conflict with sin will not change. But finally, believers' future hope of eternal life will not change. When the Bible speaks of the future hope of the Christian, it is not a hope that one has like, I hope we get electricity tomorrow. I hope the weather will be good tomorrow. When we are in Zimbabwe, every day, I hope we get electricity today, because I have these toothsticks to cook. I hope we get electricity. Sometimes, guess what happened? Electricity gone. Can't cook. It happens all the time. We just hope. But it's not that kind of hope. I hope the new year brings prosperity. I hope things are different. We're not certain about those things, brethren. This is not the way the word hope is used in the Bible. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but have in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is commanded unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The hope of eternal life is explained in the scriptures. And that's why reading the Bible is so important. And a person who is not a child of God would not believe the scriptures. Cannot believe the scriptures. They would always use their rationale. They did not want to believe the scriptures, no matter what you say to them. But faith is believing God's word. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed. And he left everything he had. And he went someplace that he didn't know. And that's the Christian life. When we become
new creatures. We're leaving our sin behind. We don't know the path we're going. We're going as we are instructed by the Word. That's faith. Simple faith. We come here every Lord's Day because that's what the Lord said.
You know, sometimes I pray and I say, Lord, I just don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a Christian more.
Yeah. Preaching, 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 preaching. You know, sometimes you can be deceived that preaching sermons is salvation. Preaching sermons is not salvation. Good preaching is not salvation. A preacher must believe these things before he can preach them. I don't think I'm up here giving you information because I want to sound good. Our future hope of eternal life will not change. When Paul spoke the words that I shared with you, they were absolutes. God cannot lie. He's the God of truth. He gives good hope. May our God, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who heard this morning, God of our Father who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. So, since these four imperatives are stated in the Bible, Jesus Christ will not change this year. Go away with that. If you are a true believer in Christ, today, that union will not change. You don't be saved today and lost tomorrow. If you were saved today, chances are you will be saved 1,000 years later in eternity. If you are truly saved, if you have committed your life to Jesus Christ. Paul says, "For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day, the day of judgment." You're a Christian? Where do you get assurance from? You read these things, you ponder them, you believe them, you share them with other people. But let's remember, our conflict with sin and the flesh will not change. As I said, it may get worse. And some people, God has placed them to rest on a bed. And they're still fighting. They're still fighting with God. Their attitudes have not changed. If you're one like that, it is high time to ask God to make you a new creature. I hope when my time comes that I'm gracious to ask God to be glorified. The battle. Well, this is a New Year's message. I'm not bringing no kill call message this morning. I'm trying to encourage my brethren here that I've known with these things. I'm trying to encourage you in these things. Conflict ain't going to change. Pray for our homes because some homes are homes of conflict between husband and wife. One don't want to go God's way. One want to go the devil's way. And when one hear God's way, there's a conflict. This evening, I will talk about things that ought to change. Come back. Our eternal future hope will not change. Since these things are true, we are to be faithful to our Lord. Let us hold fast. The Bible says the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful. That promise. Hebrews 10:23. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 10 has a series of exhortation to believers that all begin with the words, let us, the collective body of the saints, let us. It's not an individual exhortation. It is a collective tree. Let us draw near. Verse 22. Let us hold fast. Verse 23. Let us consider one another. Verse 24. There's a reason for these collective nouns. Because God's people are a body of believers. And the apostle is giving us some reasons why believers are kept. We ought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. In light of the fact that our conflict with sin and the flesh will not change, we should be faithful. Second, we are to become more conformed to the Lord's will. Or our lot may not change. I will not give anyone false hope. I do not have the liberty to tell anyone what God has not said in his word. As a matter of fact, God said the opposite to some of what you think. You know why? Because the Lord's promises are not physical. They're not physical. We are to be more conformed to the Lord's will. I quote a verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The Lord didn't tell us how we would be brought into conformity, but he tells us we will be conformed. And you know, sometimes you conform something by bending it. By putting heat on it. Folding it. To bring it in shape. Doesn't tell us. Tell us he'll do it. Left to ourselves, we will never be conformed to his will. And he will never tell us how we are being brought into conformity with his Son. But when we are feeling the bending and the heat, Lord, I know you promise that you will bring me into conformity with you. And if this is the means that you are using, Lord, give me the grace. Didn't tell you. Doesn't have to. Things change, Brother Depo, when you get surgery. Things change for men. That is the process of conformity. His promises are not physical. Don't ever think that God's promises are physical. He works through suffering. Works through sickness. Works through other means. And Job could say, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I don't think many people can say that. Some may say, though he slay me, I'll cuss him. And they do. Cuss the doctors, cuss the nurses. I had an uncle dying from prostate cancer. And he screamed out to the top of his voice to the nurse with a cuss word. So he was going. That's why he was leaving this life. There's a difference, though, between being conformed to the world and being conformed to the will of God. When we are conforming to the world, we will act like the world. We will respond as the world responds. When we are being conformed to the Lord, we will begin to act according to the word of God. So the Apostle Peter says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for sin in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." This is 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Well, these words are a repeat of what Paul said in Ephesians 6, when he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand." It is really an evangelistic call to us to make sure that we are wearing the right garments. We arm ourselves with the sword of the Spirit. We arm ourselves with the shield of faith, with the helmet of salvation. But finally, in closing, brethren, since our future hope of eternal life will not change, you and I, if we are truly saved, will wait upon God. We will wait. We will wait as though we have this hope. I can't think of a better text than John, 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that have this hope in him purifieth himself." So this hope drives us to action to be more like our Lord. I can't think of a better message to bring you this first day of the year than this message. Any man, anyone is in Christ. They're a new creation. Jesus Christ cannot change. Our union with Christ cannot change. Our conflict with Christ will not change. Our eternal hope in Christ will not change. If that doesn't minister to you, I don't know what else will minister to you. We have every reason to wait upon the Lord. If you have become what you have read, you will have a new perspective of life and not be swayed by what is swirling around us out there. And some of us are controlled by what's going on in the media and not controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Christian life is one that is fixed upon the promises of God, and not the whims that come from the politicians and the pundits out there. That's the Christian. We are distinct. We are separated. We are the community of God. And let us behave that way, brethren. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, what more can we say to your people? We know we are always a mixed multitude, but my attention was taken mainly to our people who have confessed faith in thee. And Lord, others may have heard, and they're going through this life without any hope. Oh Lord God, we pray that Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, would come upon them. And we have just crossed over from Christmas, where everything we heard, sung, was about hope. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Lord, we hear these things, and what joy it is that has come. It's the joy of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We hear these carols again and again, heralding the blessed hope of the Lord, of the Lord's coming. Come now, now expected Jesus, the hope of Israel, Lord. We hear these songs, Lord, they have not resonated. And we pray that we would live as though we have hope. We pray now that you will take us to our places with these words in mind, and you will bring us again at the appointed time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.